Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, here we go. It is a Tuesday. We've got two football games, Washington and Philadelphia, Seattle and the Rams. Hope you are doing well as we come to you on Listen App. And more news in the sports world as it relates to COVID. The National Hockey League has said they are out. They will not be going to Beijing for the Olympics. So the NHL has pulled out of the Olympics. And I don't think anybody can be surprised with that. Adam Silver came out and said he does not foresee the league stopping play. He said there's no plans right now to pause the season. Obviously, that could change. It's a very fluid situation. But Adam Silver said that the league said, hey, we got to deal with this. This is part of our life. This is now the new norm, and we have to deal with it. So the NBA right now has no plans to pause the NBA season. All right, the Buccaneers, they had a bad game on Sunday. They get shut out by New Orleans, and they lose Chris Godwin for the year. It looks like Leonard Fournette is going to go on IR and would miss the final regular season games. Could be back for the playoffs. Talked about yesterday with them keeping Antonio Brown. The league right now, I'll tell you, when you look at the NFC, all right, and again, we know how this can change in an instant. All you need to do is look at the Arizona Cardinals, who have lost three of four games. But in the NFC right now, clearly the Green Bay Packers look to be the team to beat. I mean, they're 11-3. They are in a rhythm. They have been the most consistent team all year. And they should, and I say they should, be able to solidify home field advantage. Now, you know, you think playing in Lambeau in January is no picnic, and I'm not saying it is, but, you know, the Packers, over recent years, they have not fared well at Lambeau in the playoffs. So, you know, it's not like you can't go in there and win. This week, they've got Cleveland, talking about Green Bay. Then they have Minnesota, and they're at Detroit. So they should be able to win the rest of their games, end at 14-3, and have home field throughout the playoffs. So they to me right now, and again, you can't predict injuries, but right now, based on the way the NFC looks, they look like they are in the best shape. All right. Now in the AFC, Kansas City, as we know, has turned it on. They've won seven in a row, and they also should be the number one seed in that conference. Got to love the way the Chiefs are playing. And the thing that surprises me about Kansas City is their defense. I mean, their defense went from being horrible, and now all of a sudden you look at their defense and you're like, wait a minute, how did that happen? Now, their final games, they have, I'm talking about Kansas City now, they play Pittsburgh at home, at Cincinnati, at Denver. So they've got a great opportunity to wrap up the number one seed in the AFC. Hey, if you want to get in on the show today, all you have to do is hit your hand icon, raise your hand. I'll put you up on stage, and we'll be able to talk. My podcast today, I talked about, I talked about where the Sacramento Kings are and how what I have witnessed, and I'm sure for those of you that are Kings fans and NBA fans, you know, when you think about Sacramento, you think about loyal support, you think about unwavering support, you think about loyalty, you think about, you know, the fans. That's why the Kings stayed, because David Stern was not going to take the Kings away from a city that had such amazing fan support. Well, that's gone. That doesn't exist anymore. The fans are staying away in droves. The arena is empty. Fans don't want anything to do with it. And I spent about 30 minutes today on my podcast talking about this. And I went down memory lane and I talked about what it was like in the 80s when the Kings moved from Kansas City. And I talked about what it was like going to the Arco 1, that 10,333. And then moving into the new building, which became the best home court advantage in the NBA and the destination for NBA players to play, both wearing a Kings jersey and as a visiting jersey. Players love playing in that atmosphere. You can go talk to any player that played in the NBA, and they always talked about coming to Sacramento was a highlight because of the atmosphere. It was like college. And I talked about, you know, the first playoff game in that building in 96 with the Kings and the Sonics. And I talked about moving into, you know, the early 2000s when the Kings became the darlings of the NBA. And I took you through the Kings possibly moving, or are they going to stay, and what it was like during that period of time from my perspective. And I never thought in all of those years that I would ever see what I am seeing now. And what I'm seeing now and what you're seeing now are apathetic fans, and you can't blame them. Fans that have been turned off by what they're watching. Fans that are thoroughly disgusted in the product. Fans that don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Fans that see ownership, and in this case, the managing general partner Vivek Ranadive, mismanage the franchise, make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. There's no accountability. There's no message to the fans. There's nothing. It's a franchise that is in disarray right now, from where I see it, in my opinion. It is a franchise that still does not have an all-star player on their roster. It is a franchise that has pushed their loyal customer out the door and away instead of gravitating them to come watch games. And it's one of the worst things that I have seen in a long time. It's one of the worst things I've seen in sports. It really is. How you could push such a loyal, passionate fan base away from your product. But that's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what's happened. The Kings and the NBA, I think going woke has hurt their product. I think it's hurt in Sacramento. I personally have had many people reach out to me personally and via social media to tell me that's why they have stopped going to games. I've had many people on social media tell me that they have stopped going to games because they have no faith in the franchise anymore, that they're disgusted with the losing and the apparent lack of direction. I've had some tell me they've stopped going to games because of the pandemic, although those are much fewer and far between than the first two. There's a lot of reasons, but first and foremost, it starts with the terrible, terrible play on the court. It really does. It starts right there. And so if you didn't get a chance to listen to my podcast today, check it out. Because I spend a lot of time talking about this, all right? It's one of the worst things that I've seen in all my years of being involved in sport. And when I say it's one of the worst things, how a incredibly loyal fan base, so much so that 30 for 30 did a documentary on it. Unfortunately, it did not air, but the documentary was still put together by Jason Hare. I've seen it. Many others have seen it. And it was about the fan support. It was about the fan base. It was about the incredible Sacramento Kings fan. That's what the documentary stemmed around, right? When the Kings were looking to move, the Playing the Wind tour opened up eyes in New York. The commissioner, David Stern, knew full well what he had in Sacramento and that he was not going to allow the Kings to just get up and move because of the fans. Had the fan base back then been the way it is now, David Stern wouldn't have kept the Kings in Sacramento. Not a chance in the world. They'd be gone. They would be gone. But David Stern wasn't going to do that to the most loyal fan base in the NBA. And I really believe that I'm not exaggerating when I say the most loyal fan base. There were no other franchises that were losing year in, year out, and yet still had full buildings. But in Sacramento, that's the way it was. In Sacramento, the fans back in the 80s used to sleep out overnight, two, three nights with tents and sleeping bags in front of the box office to buy individual game tickets to the 10,333-seat venue. I know because I used to go out and do stories on it for Channel 31. It was one of the most amazing things that I had ever seen. So what's happened right now is something that I never thought I would see. But it's happened, and I just wonder if it's going to continue to get worse before it gets better. All right, let's get to some phone calls. If you want to come on, raise your hand. I'll put you on stage, and you can come on with me like Brian. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show. Brian, what's up?
Question for you. Sorry for the delay there. Is there any access to that documentary out of curiosity? I know what
no.
all that, but is there any remote
access? Now, I'm going to let you go because you're breaking up. Yeah, you're breaking up, so I'm going to put you back into the audience. But no, I know Carmichael Dave a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, actually put it out on his social media account live one night. I think it was like whatever that's called. But no, there isn't. And it's unfortunate because it's a great, great 30 for 30. Like, it's great. I went to the premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival. Then they aired it at the Crest Theater a couple of times for people to see. And it's not available, which is really unfortunate because it was an amazing job by Jason Hare, the director. Preston, you're on with Grant. How are you, Preston?
Doing well, Grant. I just want to get your thoughts on Zion Williamson. I know he was a good college player. He made a lot of good highlights and stuff, but I know he came into this year hurt, and I saw an article saying that he weighed like 330 pounds. And I just wanted to know if you thought that if he might be like overrated.
Well, I don't think he's overrated, but I think he's overvalued. There's a difference. All right. His basketball acumen is incredible, but his body is not. His body is already broken down. He obviously has a weight problem. And quite frankly, I don't see how any team, this case being New Orleans, but even if he were to go somewhere else, could have any confidence that Zion Williamson is going to develop into the player that people thought he could because of his body. I mean, it's just not there. You know, you're exactly right. And so he's got a right foot issue that he's dealing with right now. But when you have problems with your feet and you weigh so much and you play the way he does, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, but I just don't see it ever working. I really don't. I don't see how he can play his style of basketball with the weight that he has on his frame and not be injured. So I would be very leery about it if I'm a fan of the Pelicans or I'm a fan of Zion Williamson. I'd be very leery about it. I can tell you this, if the draft were held all over again, there's no way in the world he'd go number one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. And then like I just know like in the first couple of years, I mean, I think the hype was real, but it just seemed like, you know, he got more hype than he actually probably should have deserved just because of how popular of a player he was.
Very true. I don't disagree with that. I think he probably did get more hype. I think he was overhyped. But again, I mean, if the draft were held all over again, Ja Morant would go ahead of him in a heartbeat. It wouldn't even be close. Ja Morant would be the number one pick in the draft, and Zion Williamson would not. I mean, and that's not even debatable. There's no way in the world that Zion Williamson would go number one if the draft were held all over again. He wouldn't even go ahead of Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero would go ahead of Zion Williamson. And there were others, too. I'm just picking out a couple, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, and it's a shame because he does have the ability, Preston. He has incredible talent. But talent doesn't do you any good if you're on the bench and you're in street clothes. That doesn't really help a team.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Grant.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hey, if you want to get in on the program, all you got to do is hit your hand icon. and we will get you right on. Again, Zion Williamson is a freak of nature, but unfortunately, he's probably his own worst enemy with the frame that he has, the weight, and the way he plays. I mean, it's physics, right? I mean, something's got to give. When you're playing with that kind of force, with that type of, I guess, energy, and you have a body like that, well, it's not going to last very long. It's not going to last very long, in my opinion. I just don't see it. I really don't. I don't see it working. I don't see it. All right, let's get to some more phone calls here on Listen Up with Jay. Jay, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hey, Grant. Good. Hey, yeah, on Zion Williamson, I remember watching him in college. And, you know, in college, he was not as big as he is now. But I remember him coming down the court, and he either came to a sudden stop or he was just making a quick change of direction. And he basically, his shoe blew up. You know,
sure did.
And I remember looking at him right then, and there's no way his body is going to be able to take the rigors of an NBA game. And I love the kid and love his game, but it is not a surprise at all. He's struggling with injuries. Yeah, just too big, too much weight on joints and muscles for him to do well. And they're gonna have to figure out a way to get him closer to 260. And I don't know that that's ever gonna happen.
It's about physics. I mean, you know, something's got to give. You know, your body is, you're not a robot. You're a human being with cartilage and ligaments and muscles and tendons. And you can't play at that force with that weight and not have repetitive injuries. And I'm with you. They have a lot of work to do with this kid.
Exactly. Yeah. Your podcast today was great.
Thank you.
I was just starting my career in 1985, so I was at UC Davis during the late 70s, early 80s, and was just starting my professional career in 1985, the year the Kings came. And even though there wasn't, you know, professional basketball in really Northern California, I was still a fan. You know, I would watch the NBA, even though I wasn't really associated with a team, just from having grown up in the LA area as a kid. I never stuck being a Laker fan. You know, I followed the Lakers, but it didn't stick being a fan. So I was just a fan of the NBA. So when the Kings came, it was super easy to jump on that bandwagon. And after a game or two at original Arco, it was unbelievable. And by the time the Kings built, you know, Arco 2, that was when I wanted to get season tickets. I think that was 1989. And if you recall at the time, it was hard. It was even hard then to get season tickets. They sold out so fast. And a client of mine was friends with Greg Lucanbill, and we were talking about it. And he goes, "Well, let me see what I can do." And he scheduled a meeting, and I went in and I met with Greg Lucanbill in person. Greg, he was there with his flannel shirt on, and I was in his office, and he had the arena all designed out there. And he goes, "I'll tell you what," and he's pointing to where he can get me a couple of seats at Arco 2, and he's going through it just like, you know, he's a common salesman, and here he is, the owner right. of the team. And he took the time, I mean, probably spent a half hour, 45 minutes with me. And this was after they had already announced that they'd sold out all their tickets. And I don't know what these tickets were designed for, whether it was going to be same day sale or whatever. But because my client was friends with him, he made those tickets available to me, and I bought him his season tickets in 1989, and I kept those season tickets until 2012. And the only reason we stopped going was because the kid was playing high school ball and getting ready to call. We couldn't physically go to the games anymore. That was the only reason. And then every year we would always still go, you know, even after we went to Golden One, we would always, as a family, we'd go to multiple games every season. We'd always go to several games over the holidays. And this is the first year where we're like, we're done. We're, you know, as bonded as we are. And
yeah, let me ask you this. And by the way, just for the other people that are listening, because I know how this works, it was 1988 was the first year of that building, because I know people will say, no, it's not 89, it's 88. So I'm throwing that out there. But Jay.
Okay, so it's 88.
Right, I wanted to ask you, because I gave a couple of reasons. You listen to my podcast today, and for those that are listening that are interested in this topic, and I know there are many, Were there things that I said in my podcast that you disagree with? You've obviously, you're one of the fans that I was talking about. You've been with the team pretty much from day one, going back to 88. You were a loyal fan. Are there any things that I said in my podcast today that you took issue with that you don't agree with?
No, I agree with everything 100%. You know, I think it was the 99 Sonics playoff game, still a number, you know, still the number one moment at Arco Arena for me, including all the Kings going to the Western Conference Finals. That one moment, that pregame in 1990, I think it was 1999.
96.
Oh, it's 96. Okay, yeah. So game, I think was it game three?
Yes.
So it was game three, and I think the Kings lost that game. But that moment was the most unbelievable moment I think I've ever experienced in sports. And you know, those 2001, 2002 Kings playoffs game with the Lakers were absolutely amazing. But that moment, that pregame moment at that time, I still think has got to be one of the all-time greatest sports moments that anybody could experience live. It was just amazing.
I've been blessed. I've been to Super Bowls, World Series, Stanley Cup Finals. I've been to a lot of things, okay? And that Game 3, which the actual date was April 30th, 1996, before the game, was probably the most amazing spectacle that I've ever witnessed from a fan base. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, as a fan sitting there in the arena, it was unbelievable. You know, that moment. You know, and even though the Kings end up losing that game, it didn't come down to the winning or the losing. It was that moment. How much the fans were so into the team and so engaged, and in the last couple of years, that engagement has gone away, and I agree with you 100%. It's not only the play on the court, but it's how Vivek is handling things. You know, not to have sour grapes, but even if you and Jerry, or you and Doug, or you and another solid analyst were doing the TV games, there would be a different feel. Right now, everything feels fake and contrived. And nothing against Katie, but the whole product has gone backwards in almost every sense that there is, whether it's the on-court product, the feel of how things are at the arena, the TV product. The only thing that has remained good is the radio product.
What would it take? What would it take to get you back? What would it take to get your loyalty back? What would it take for you to become a customer of the franchise again?
Yeah, probably two things. One is, I think we do need to hear from Vivek. I think that he needs to. It's okay to make an about face or make a change. You know, sure. If companies are going one direction and it's not working, come out and say, "Hey, we're going to go in another direction," and not only on the basketball side, but on the business side. You know, I think there was even if they never brought you back, they made huge mistakes in how they handled just how the whole announcing thing is going, and that's really awkward. So something needs to change there. There needs to be a click, because I'm a fan of the team. I mean, I root for the team, right? Even though we're bad now, I still root for the team. I keep an eye on things. I want them to win. I watch the games when I can. But I'm not going to spend money until I see that the team, that the organization has a direction, and they feel like they care about where the fans' interests are. At the moment, it doesn't feel like they really care about the fans' interests. I think the players care, but you know, I think the coaching staff cares, but I don't think the organization cares. And it feels like it's a rudderless organization from all aspects. And I would need to see that change before I would go spend money and time back at a game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think a lot of people feel the way you do, because a lot of the messages that I see on my social media accounts pretty much echo the same thing you just said. And, you know, it's not just one thing. It's a multitude of things that need to be fixed. And it's just really bad right now. And It's I guess what's bad about it, or I should say what's really disconcerting, is it doesn't look like there's really a solution in sight right now. It doesn't look like things are getting better anytime soon. That I guess that's very frustrating.
Right. I guess, you know, if there's some moves made where, and McNair comes out and he says, hey, these are the moves, this is the rationale, as opposed to there's a move and there's really no explanation with it, because the odds are whatever the move is that's made is not going to be dramatic. You know,
correct.
You know, I don't feel like a Ben Simmons, you know, or Sabonis is coming to the Kings. There's going to be smaller moves made, and then there's not going to be a whole lot of explanation associated with the thought process behind it. There might be, but they're just, the communication doesn't seem to be there from the organization to the fan base on, well, here's the thought process, here's the plan on what we want to have happen, as opposed to we're just making a change to make a change.
Well, I think you said it very well. And, you know, I thought about this before I did my podcast. I was thinking, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up 2021. And I moved to Sacramento in July of 1987, and I started doing the games in 1988. And throughout everything, even when it looked like the team might be moving, the one thing I never thought I would see, especially when the team was saved and they built the new arena, I never thought I would see what I'm seeing now. I never thought that you would watch a game and it would look literally empty, and it would sound like a library, and fans wouldn't want to go, and even fans are turning down free tickets and everything else. I never, Jay, thought that I would see that in Sacramento, but here we are.
Here we are, and I agree with you 100%. Yep.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your phone call.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Yep. Good. That's good stuff right there. You know, that's a loyal, loyal customer. Excuse me. Former customer that's not spending his money anymore at the venue. And, you know, I haven't really gotten into the TV aspect because it's hard for me. I don't want it to sound self-serving. And just for the record, I haven't watched a game since I left. So I'm being as transparent as I possibly can. But I hear it's unwatchable from many, 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 many people. I mean, my Twitter account, my Instagram account, my Facebook account, my friends, they all tell me the same thing. People I know, people I don't know. You know, Jay, longtime season ticket holder, former season ticket holder. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is awful. It's just embarrassing. You know, I mean, it really is. It's not just one thing. I guess that's what's so frustrating. It's not just one thing. All right, let's get to Brian. Hello, Brian. How are you? Brian, you there? Go ahead, Brian.
Hey.
No problem.
Hey, Greg,
go ahead,
sorry,
buddy.
Sorry, I had a bad connection.
Go ahead, Brian.
That documentary is shelved because I remember at the time, as a fan going through it, you know, organically and dealing with the Kings leaving and everything, I was so looking forward to seeing that documentary. So that's too bad.
It was phenomenal, Brian. It was incredible. You would have tears in your eyes if you saw that documentary. It was incredible. It was so good.
Yeah, and your last point, you're right. I tuned in specifically last night as my son's a Warriors fan, and we watched the game, and the broadcast. It's just awful. It's just too bad all the way around on that front. I know I've discussed that before with you, so there's no reason to, you know, recap that again with you. But I haven't listened to the entire program today. Have you discussed any NFL today as far as the playoff picture starting
yes.
to take shape?
Yes, I did. I did talk a little bit. I was in a nutshell. I was thinking that, you know, again, we can't predict injuries, but right now, I mean, everything is set up so well for Green Bay and the NFC. They're just playing better than everybody else. Tampa with their injuries against New Orleans on Sunday. You know, the Rams, I would keep an eye on just because they're talented. But I just love what the Packers are doing right now. They seem to be in full sync, full rhythm. They have an easy schedule the final three games. They should end up 13-4 and should have the number one seed. Now, the number one seed doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win. They've lost a lot of home games at Lambeau in January with Aaron Rodgers there. So, you know, but they're in the driver's seat in the NFC. And in the AFC, you know, it looks right now like Kansas City is going to be the number one seed. And if they are, you know, you could be looking at a Green Bay Kansas City Super Bowl. But that I gave a brief synopsis of it. Yes.
Yeah. No. Out of the seven teams, what have you on each? Dude, I'm real curious how the Rams play tonight and how they play down the stretch, because up until the win, obviously, last week, the big win against Arizona, they've been a disappointment. So if they can catch fire and get on a roll, they are certainly dangerous. Of course, the Packers. And, you know, it's kind of, other than the dud up in Seattle, which for some reason the Niners, or they just have the Niners number, the Niners certainly, if they're playing the right way and they show up the right way, any given Sunday, if they're running the ball and playing good defense, you know, they can, you know, they're, they can make things happen. And, you know, I'm not predicting them to go to the Super Bowl, but I know they're a team that would be dangerous enough where the Packers, they've had good luck against the Packers. You know, that would be a team that they would take pretty serious. And
let me ask you something. Let me ask you this. I did a show earlier today with Sean Salisbury on No Filter Network, and I said the same thing about the 49ers. To me, George Kittle is the guy that makes that team go. But is there a more underappreciated player in the NFL than Jimmy Garoppolo? Seriously, the guy is so underappreciated.
Yeah, no, and I hold myself accountable. There's times during the game thinking, you know what I mean, to make some awful throws, but more times than not, you know, in the 2-minute drill, he gets them down there. Even a few weeks ago where, I mean, of course, Cincinnati, but I'm thinking of the one game where, it was Cincinnati. They got him down and they ended up winning, but he does come through. He has the experience. When they made the run a few years ago, a lot of those wins that season were with his arm. It wasn't the obvious run and play D, you know.
I think it was Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. I think that was the game you're referring to. He was great. You know, when he had to be, probably a game that they shouldn't have won. They almost blew it. Garoppolo was perfect when he had to be. So, you know, I'm with you on the Niners. I'll tell you, there's a couple weeks left, but I wouldn't want to play San Francisco. You know, they are a team that can run the football. Garoppolo's been very efficient. Defensively, they've got, you know, a player that might be the best in football on defense in Bosa, who can get to the quarterback. You know, that would be a very difficult out if you have to play San Francisco in the playoffs.
And the
Brian, I'm going to let you go, buddy. I'm losing you again, bud. So thank you very much for the call. I appreciate your patience. Thank you for your effort to come back in. Good stuff right there. You know, again, I look at the 49ers and I look at how they are, you know, they got momentum and they're playing well at the right time of the year. I thought they were down and out. I really did. Matter of fact, I did a rant after the Arizona game, and I came down pretty hard on Kyle Shanahan. And since then, they've been a completely different team. Completely different team. Completely different team. All right, NFL, the Rams do lead in the first quarter 3-0. Washington with a quarterback that I've never heard of, Gilbert, who was signed off the Patriots practice squad this week because their first two quarterbacks have COVID. Lead Philadelphia 7-0. Seriously. I've never heard of this guy before. Garrett Gilbert. Raise your hand if you've heard of Garrett Gilbert, the starting quarterback for the Washington football team tonight. Out of SMU. Have you heard of him? Just asking. Just asking. Good for him. You know what? Good for him. He gets his moment in the sun, and maybe he'll make the most out of it. Right now, 7-0, Washington on top of Philly. And again, the Rams, they are leading 3-0, a low-scoring first quarter in Los Angeles. All right, hey, the schedule for the rest of this week, obviously no show on Friday, Christmas Eve, but we'll be with you the next couple of days. We will talk about the 49ers and the Titans with their Thursday night matchup, and we'll get you ready for the weekend as well. Just wanted to let you know, no show on Christmas Eve. All right, let's get to some more phone calls, and it's John. John, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Grant. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
I would like to talk about a potential trade that for the Kings. This would be them trying to stay competitive and try to win. Just a player. See what you think about him. Not actual trade parameters, but the player. Fading on the Kings, that'd be Miles Turner. Either him or Sabonis are rumored to be on the block.
Yep.
You know, one of those two is going to be moved, they think. And what about Miles Turner? Because, you know, a couple of years ago, they wanted to run Marvin Bagley at the four and Dwayne Dedmon at the five. And Dedmon would be the stretch big on offense and the defensive center on defense, and it'd be opposite for Marvin Bagley. That was the idea back then. Now, could you do that, keeping Holmes, acquiring Turner, and do the same thing? So in that case, it'd be Holmes would be the offensive guy on defense. He would be guarding the fours, the big wings. So on offense, he'd be playing the center. Yeah. And Turner would be playing the stretch big on offense,
right,
and be the rim protector on defense. Jerry Reynolds said that Holmes was the best center at guarding wings. So, right. So I don't know. What did you think about that?
I like Miles Turner. I mean, you know, the guy shoots, a good percentage. His three is a decent percent. Well, not a decent, you know, it's good percentage. I think it was last time I looked, it was 36%. He shoots good free throws. You know, he rebounds, seven and a half a game. I've always liked Miles Turner. I think he's a good player. I personally would rather have Sabonis. I like his upside more, but I'd be fine with Miles Turner. Absolutely. What do you have to give up to get him?
Well, I don't know, because I'm not sure what Indiana's doing. You know, I heard this article comes out that they're trying to trade LeVert for sure, and then either Sabonis or Turner. So you think they're kind of trying to break it down and rebuild a little bit. But then a report comes out that they're not trying to rebuild. Carlisle doesn't want to do that. He wasn't hired to do that. And the owner doesn't want to do that. So they're just trying to stay competitive as well. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think it would be a pick, would be part of it, just to let them kind of rebuild and be competitive at the same time, to give them a pick. And I'd be in favor of an unprotected pick, honestly, because honestly, you know, I could be stupid, but I don't like protecting picks for 7 years like we did in the past. Remember that one with Cleveland or Chicago, whatever it was? We had to protect. We couldn't trade picks for so many years because it was protected for so long.
Well, I'm with you. And again, you know, I'm with you. If I could get Sabonis, that's the guy I'm going after. I love the guy. I think, what is he averaging this year? 18 points, 12 rebounds a game. You know, he's a guy that is scoring around the basket all the time. He's a good free throw shooter. He's also a really good passer. I think he's averaging over 4 assists a game. I'm a fan of Sabonis. If you could get him, again, I'm not sure what you would have to give up. And I know you just gave me an example, but if I could get Sabonis, I think that makes your team better. And that's without knowing, again, what you'd have to give up.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Grant.
Hey, John, take care, man. Be good. Bye-bye. All right. Hey, if you want to get on before we say so long, all you need to do is raise your hand. We've had some real good calls today. It's been a very good show, and I appreciate it when we get these type of calls, because then we can talk about what you want to talk about. NFL, as I said, 2 games going on tonight that were changed due to COVID. The Rams, they have just started the second quarter. They lead by the score of 3-0. And the Washington football team, with Garrett Gilbert at quarterback, all right, have the ball, 2nd and goal, leading 7-0. How about that? How about that? A guy you never heard of before may go into Philly, and win the game. Field goal, 10-0, Washington. Final minutes of the opening quarter. And again, the Rams, they're on top by the score of 3-0. Hey, good show today. Really appreciate it. Back tomorrow, same time. Make it a good rest of the day. Stay safe. Happy holidays. Thank you so much for listening to Grant Napier right here